Good morning. Good morning. I'm never quite sure which clock to go by, actually. I think just about my watch says something slightly different than that, but anyway. Good morning. The first Sunday in Lent, and we gather to worship God together. What better time than this for repenting of our sinfulness as a human race? What better time for seeking the God who came to seek and to save us in Jesus? With the people of Ukraine, we have been going through a time of storm and darkness, of man-made thunder and destruction. God, it seems, is shaking the nations. This is a time of testing, and we pray the Lord's Prayer. Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done. We pray, deliver us from evil. That seems especially relevant right now. But before we share in our call to worship this morning, I'd like to welcome our Zoomers who are with us. Oh, we have Joan's joining us from Reading, all the way from Reading. That's great. Good to see you, Joan. We've got Pat and Norman. Good to see you, Pat and Norman. Bless you. Hello, Chris. Chris Phillips. And Hillary. Good to see Hillary there. And Rosemary. We've got Tamsin. And we've got Bargia and Misper as well. And Ruhama as well. So welcome to you all. It's good to have you join us. Now, our call to worship this morning is the words of Jesus from the Beatitudes, from the Sermon on the Mount, should I say, but the Beatitudes, which is hopefully, I'm sure we'll be familiar with these words, but so we're going to say these responsively. So I'll say the first part, and then we'll say the second part of each pair of lines together, okay? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Blessed are those who suffer persecution for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Amen and hallelujah. Let's sing together. Jesus the Lord said, I am the bread.
Jesus the Lord said, I am the bread of life for mankind am I. The bread of life for mankind am I. The bread of life for mankind am I. Jesus the Lord said, I am the bread. The bread of life for mankind am I. Jesus the Lord said, I am the life, the resurrection and the life am I. The resurrection and the life am I. The resurrection and the life am I. Jesus the Lord said, I am the life, the resurrection and the life am I. Jesus the Lord said, I am the vine, and you are the branches of the vine, said he. And you are the branches of the vine, said he. And you are the branches of the vine, said he. Jesus the Lord said, I am the vine, and you are the branches of the vine, said he.
Please be seated. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, this Lent season, we thank you for the gift of Jesus. We thank you that he's indeed the bread of life, the bread of heaven, bread for us. And we thank you that we are sustained by this bread, by your word, by every word that comes from your mouth. So we thank you for your gifts to us today. We thank you that indeed Jesus is the vine, and we are united with Jesus. We are one with each other in the vine. We thank you, Lord. Help us to dwell in you, to know the richness of your word within us and among us every day. And Lord, we come before you with hopefulness, but we come before you as well with repentance in our hearts as we start this time of Lent. Repentance when we see what the world is coming to, and we acknowledge our part in all of this. We thank you, Lord, that through Jesus you offer us and give us forgiveness and the hope of new life. We thank you, Lord. Amen. I've asked Andrea if he would come and sing to us our next song, "As the Deer Pants for the Water, So Our Souls Long After You." And just straight after this song, we'll have an opportunity just to share a bit of news to do with Andre's family, and we'll pray with Andre after that as well. So, yeah, after this song. Thank you, Andre.
As the deer pants for the water, so my soul long after you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. I want you more than gold or silver, only you can satisfy. You alone are the rich joy giver and the apple of my eye. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit. Desire, and I long to worship you. You're my friend, and you are my brother, even though you are a king. I love you more than any other, so much more than anything. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you.
Thank you, Andre. Those words particularly relevant this morning. Sorry, Andre, if you want to stay standing, because I've asked Shami and Elizabeth if you might come and pray with you, around you, so we can pray for you and your family, because as well, hopefully all of you will know by now, Andrei is Ukrainian, and his family are still out in Ukraine. Irina, his wife, and three children are still out in Ukraine, near Lviv. Near Lviv, isn't it? Near the Polish border, nearish. Ukraine's a big country, but yes, we can only, you know, just imagine what the people there are going through. Lots of people are going through, you know, thousands and thousands of people are going through Lviv at the moment to escape to Poland and Hungary and other countries. So, and the week after next, Irina and the family will join that human convoy, if you like, out to Poland. So, yeah, but we'll pray for Andrei and his family at this time. I think Elizabeth has got a particular prayer that she wants to read at the, this morning, and I'll ask Shami as well to pray. Yeah, let's pray together.
This is a passage I was reading in the book, and I particularly marked this passage because I read it on the 24th of February. And these are the words of Martin Luther. Satan is raging. Ungodly priests take counsel together, and we are threatened with war. Behold, the people to contend earnestly with the throne of the Lord by faith and prayer, that our adversaries, being overcome by the Spirit of God, may be constrained to peace. Mm. Amen.
Amen.
The most urgent of our wants, the very first thing we have to do is to pray. Let the people know that they are at this hour exposed to the edge of the sword and the rage of the devil. Let them pray. Amen.
Amen.
And Lord, the prayer is that, Lord, help us to remember that, Lord, you are with us in every moment. Dear Lord, thank you for your nearness. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come against the enemies of God's purposes in this world in the name of Jesus. And we do pray for Andrei, for Irina, and their three children at this time. We lift them before you. We pray that you would keep them safe. And we thank you for all those believers who are helping the refugees, including Irina and the family. We thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in this country. Despite all that we see on our television screens, you're at work in the country of Ukraine. We thank you, Lord. Amen.
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 The Lord said, call me in the day of trouble, I will deliver you, and thou shalt glorify me. Our loving, righteous Father, that was an invitation. That was a command. That was something you have promised, Lord. And here we are at your feet, at the feet of the cross, in your house, calling you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, calling you in the name of our heavenly God, Jehovah, calling you in the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, please help us to see your deliverance, and we will come back at your feet to glorify you, Lord. Just like your promise, here we promise ourselves together as a church where you're the head of this church, Lord Jesus. Yes. We will come back to you and glorify you because you're going to deliver. It's not a doubt or no second word. You are going to deliver because you're a God who kept all your promises and still keeping your promises when we have broken all ours, Lord. You're a God who have been so faithful, where even when we have been unfaithful to you. We hand over dear brother Andre with thanksgiving that he's here with us, calling in your name, Lord Jesus. We hand over his family, his loved ones, relatives, everyone, Lord. Even the people who don't know you, Lord, we hand over them into your loving hands, that they will get to know. They will know who's in charge, who has in control, Lord. And we will go back, come back to your feet, Lord, feet of the cross to glorify you. We hand over everyone in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our loving Savior. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Bless you, Andre. Okay, thanks so much. Bless you. Thanks, everyone. Let's continue to give thanks to God as we take, receive the morning offering. I'll bring forward the morning offering. And of course, that's the time, that's the moment for young people to go out as well, actually. In a moment. Yeah, thank you. Heavenly Father, we desire to worship you and to give you glory, the glory that belongs to you. So we bring to you these gifts, along with other gifts given in other ways. And we give you ourselves, because we know that you've given yourself for us. We pray now for the young people of Youth Church and their leaders, that together we would give our lives to you. Amen. Over to Kathleen for the notices now. Thank you, Kathleen. Thank you.
Morning, everybody. I'm a marker meeting two lots here, so let's hope we don't forget anything. Coffee morning, Bible studies, prayer meetings all continue as usual. Details are on the newsletter, and those newsletters are available on the tables, in the foyer, and at the side door here. The Wednesday evening prayer meeting is now taking place in the church and on Zoom. That'll be in the sanctuary, is it? Yeah. Lent courses begin on Monday morning. For notes, please see Jill Blunden after the service. Our COVID measures haven't changed. Again, all details are in the newsletter. Now, an important date for your diary, please. Wednesday the 9th of March at 7:30, it's the First Church AGM as a charitable incorporated organisation. There will be a process of reappointment for the charity trustees, for which voting slips will be available at the AGM. And very important, if you can't attend and you need a postal vote, please see David Blunden today, because this will be your last chance to pick up a form. Is that right? Yeah. At the AGM, we'll also be electing a treasurer and secretary, and nomination forms again are available from you, David. The meeting will be in the sanctuary and on Zoom. In light of the situation in Ukraine, our March communion offering will be given to the BMS Relief Fund for the people of Ukraine. If you wish to give a cash donation during March, please put it in an envelope and mark it that it's for the Ukraine. And also, if you're giving it directly into the church bank account, please also reference it for the Ukraine. Now, congratulations to Aki, who apparently has designed a web app as part of his course at Brunel University. So Aki, who is over here, would like to ask church members to try out this new app so that it can be evaluated. So please note, next Sunday service will include an infant dedication. And you forgot something, excuse me.
Afrié, yeah.
Augustine's daughter Afrié will be dedicated. Therefore, the all-age service service has been moved to the fourth Sunday of the month, that's the 27th of March. And I forgot to check this, are there refreshments after the service? Anybody?
I think so, yeah.
Think so. Yes, thank you, ladies. Thank you. Over to you, Aki.
Thanks, Kathleen, thank you.
Good morning. So as Kathleen said, I am a final year student doing computer science, and I've built an application. So what the application does is that it can predict how busy different parts of London are based on the date that you enter. And so one of the final stages of my project is user evaluation, where people use the application and fill a short questionnaire based on the experience. So I'm looking for participants from a range of ages. You do have to be over 18, so I'll be checking IDs. So it will be from the three major age groups, and to test if you can understand and use my application. So if you'd like to take part, it would be much appreciated. Just approach me at the end of the service, and I'll give you more information. Thank you.
Thanks, Aki. That sounds like a very, very practical app and very useful. So, yeah. Have a word with Aki, yep, about all that, if you want to try it out. A final piece of pastoral news. Many of you will know the sad news that Teen lost her son, Nick, suddenly this week. So I encourage you to pray for Teen, Gillian, David, and all the family. And we will be remembering them in our prayers later in this service. Now to David for our first reading from the Gospel of Mark. Thank you, David.
Our first reading comes from Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, starting at verse 6. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message: after me comes the one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven: "You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." At once the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended him. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." May the Lord bless this reading to us.
Amen. Thank you, David. Our next hymn, reflecting upon the ministry of Jesus, is 219 in Baptist Praise and Worship, and on our screen. It is a thing most wonderful, almost too wonderful to be, that God's own Son should come from heaven and die to save a child like me. Let's stand and sing together. It is a thing most wonderful, almost too wonderful to be, that God's own Son should come from heaven and die to save a child like me. And yet I know that it is true, he came to this poor world below, and wept and toiled and mourned and died, only because he loved us so. I cannot tell how he could love a child so weak and full of sin. His love must be most wonderful if he could die my love to win.
It is most wonderful to know His love for me, so free and sure. But 'tis more wonderful to see my love for Him so faint and poor. And yet I want to love Thee, Lord. O light the flame within my heart, and I will love You more and more until I see You as You are.
Please be seated. I believe God gave me a picture on Friday night in the wee small hours of Friday morning. And this picture was of a parachute, not an RAF parachute, you understand. It's the kind of parachute, multicoloured one, that the children play with in toddlers' groups and other groups. It was certainly enjoyed by the toddler groups in days past, and I seem to remember it was quite difficult to persuade them to put it away at the end, actually, because they were having so much fun. But anyway, but the idea of this is that everyone is involved with this parachute game, both adults and children alike. Are all invited to grab an edge of the parachute and to pull it out so it forms a circle. It's usually held about waist height for the adults and about head height for the children, so they can see under and over as well. And it becomes a bit like a big tent, a big shelter, a place of fun, a place for everyone to play together. And the parachute is lifted up and down and jiggled about. And sometimes, not here, but I've seen people play, put a football on it and send it around the parachute as well. So there's all sorts of games you can play. And God seemed to be telling me that this is a picture of the church, a place of play and shelter for the children of God. But God gave me a slightly different picture and asked me a question. What happens when people move away from the center a bit too much? What happens when people hold too tightly onto their bits of parachute? It becomes simply a very taut bit of material and also in danger of ripping apart, and all the fun goes out of it. And it seems to me that what God was saying to me with this picture is that in times of crisis, people try to control what they feel they can control. And perhaps at times we hold too tightly onto the parachute. Too tightly. Times of crisis that we've been through, COVID and Ukraine, of course, amongst just two of the most recent. But I think that is a fairly typical human response. And I think it's certainly a message for me as well, that actually I'm in danger of holding on too tightly, to try and control things too much. And what we need to do instead is just relax a little bit, just relax our hold a little bit and move towards the center, towards God, towards each other more. So, I believe that's a message for us, for Carey Baptist Church. God wants us to have fun in church. God wants us to relax and move closer to Him and to move closer to each other. Thanks be to God. And now our next hymn reflects upon this this picture, if you like, made in God's image. This has become a bit of an anthem, certainly in my mind, for Carey. 633 in Baptist Praise and Worship. Made in God's image, woman and man, here is the wholeness, God's human plan. Brother and sister, daughter and son, here is a family made to be one. We need each other, old folks and young,
sharing together life from the Son. This is the meaning, prize to be won. Here is a family made to be one. Dappled creation, diverse its ways. Colors and cultures offer their praise. Gathered together under the sun. Here is a family made to be one. Praise to the Father and to the Son. Praise to the Spirit, our God is one. Here is our vision, new world begun. Here is our family, made to be one. Please be seated. Our thanks to Robert and Colin for playing together. It sounded very, very nice together, combination. And our second reading now, Romans chapter 5. Over to Raphael. Thank you, Raph.
Good morning, all.
Morning, Raph.
Our second reading is taken from the book of Romans chapter 5, starting from verse 1 to 8, and can be found on page 1132 of the Church Bible. Peace and hope. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into his grace, in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame. Because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Thank you, Raph. The title of my talk today is Wild Hope. Wild Hope. Let me start with a question for us all. Where does the gospel come from? Where does the good news of Jesus originate? Any thoughts? You're looking very stunned. Oh, if you don't know, you're kind of thinking, if you don't know, well, how are we supposed to know? Yeah, I know. The good news of Jesus comes right out of the wilderness, out of the middle of nowhere, if you like. The word wild crops up 5 times in this opening to Mark's Gospel. 3 times as part of the word wilderness and twice as a separate word. There are a number of reasons for John and Jesus both choosing to locate themselves in the wilderness of the Jordan Valley. And a lot of these reasons resonate with our experience of Lent. Periods of wandering,
times of testing, experiences of finding God after long times of seeking, experiences of being refreshed and filled after long periods of feeling thirsty and hungry, periods of suffering. There are some particular reasons I would like to suggest today as to why John chose to hide himself away in the wilderness and why Jesus chose to emerge from the wilderness at the start of his ministry. Yes, on a practical level, Jesus was called to be baptized by John in the Jordan. So Jesus had to go there to be obedient to God right from the beginning. But then God's Spirit led Jesus deeper into the wilderness for a time of testing. And certainly the wilderness provided the best opportunity for John and Jesus to seek God. There is good precedent for this, with all those from the history of God's people who claimed to speak for God, of course. The wilderness was an ideal location for John and Jesus to avoid the usual distractions of life. Now, this is what we expect to hear from a sermon on the first Sunday of Lent. But how about these two reasons for the good news emerging from the wilderness? Firstly, it makes it very clear that this message is not of human origin. No person can claim credit for this surprising news coming out of the left field, if you like. That hope should come from a place of no hope is a reminder that both John and Jesus were sent by God, the God of the impossible. For those who first heard the Gospel of Mark, the wilderness was not only a place seemingly devoid of life, it was also a place which threatened death. Now, if the teachers of the law could say of Nazareth, what good is ever going to come out of Nazareth, how likely they thought that no good will ever come out of the wilderness. But what does the wardrobe and the diet of John the Baptist tell us? It tells us, in fact, that the wilderness that God's people were so afraid of was actually teeming with life. Surprisingly, a place of abundance. We know, for example, that camels can survive relatively easily in the wilderness. And of course, John was dressed in a camel coat. We know how numerous locusts can be. We know that bees can only make honey if there are plants and flowers to make that honey from. And just a quick reminder here about last week's message. Your Heavenly Father knows your needs, so seek first his kingdom, and you will be provided with food to eat, water to drink, clothes to wear, by some miracle. The second reason the gospel comes from the wilderness is this. It is to remind us where we all come from, where we all came from, both in terms of the story of God's people and also the story of all peoples. We're all products of the dust of the earth, no less. Or if you prefer, we're all products of stardust, but that's another story. Both the wilderness of the earth and the wilderness of the cosmos are not places of death, but rather places of life. God gives us birth and life through the daily giving of creation. And just as Jesus was kept company by the wild animals, so with us too. All of God's good creation is our companion and friend. It's interesting that in this obscure verse of Mark's description of the testing of Jesus, he only mentions the angels as an afterthought. The wild animals are much closer companions for Jesus in his time of trial. They're mentioned first before the angels. Now, this has certainly been the case for many people during COVID. To bring it back to our own experience, lots of people during lockdown have found the company of pets to be invaluable. Today, we find we have a better kind of understanding of the rest of creation than most of those in the time of Jesus. And this is partly thanks to the presenters of nature programs like Sir David Attenborough, of course. We've gained something of an understanding and appreciation of the wilderness, of places pretty much devoid of human life in our world. Of course, God's people of old were threatened by the wilderness, by wild animals like bears and lions and wolves, for example. But there is a deep irony here. We are only just beginning to gain an appreciation of the wildness of nature now that we have supposedly tamed it. And now that we have tamed the wilderness, we are in danger of losing it and ourselves also in the process. Just this week I came across a Lent book, so it's too late to fully recommend it. Maybe next year. It's a book by US author and naturalist Gail Boss, who lives on Michigan's west coast in the US. The book has a whale on the front cover, and it's called Wild Hope, Stories for Lent from the Vanishing. The word vanishing here refers to all those many species of animal who are in danger of extinction are indeed becoming extinct. And she paints wonderful word pictures of the stories of these creatures, these gifts of God to our planet, these gifts of God for us both to benefit from and also to care for. So this is one of my wild hopes for this morning. I hope that it is not too late for us to regain a true appreciation of the real worth of all life, to understand that we can only hope in God's goodness by hoping in the goodness of creation. How can we hope today, really, honestly? How can we hope in the midst of all the devastation and bad news we see? This last day, 10 days, has reminded us forcefully of our uniquely human ability to reduce this good earth to little more than poison blasted, empty landscape. Where is our hope now? As the psalmist put it, I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? We can hope because our help comes from the Lord, maker of the heavens and the earth. The president of Ukraine spoke of hope this week. He spoke a message of hope. He spoke of a vision of a new Ukraine rising from the ashes. He spoke of Kyiv and all those embattled cities being ultimately rebuilt. That's a biblical vision of hope, something for us to pray into. And at the same time, we pray for the mighty to be brought down from their thrones and palaces and luxury yachts. Amen. Yes, we continue to hope, but I'm also conscious that one of those facing up to the Russian onslaughts is a Ukrainian scientist who helped to write the latest report on climate change, Dr. Svetlana Krakowska. She, for one, will not leave Kyiv, despite offers of lucrative jobs in the West. More important than that, she is acutely conscious that in this latest global crisis in Ukraine only serves to obscure our bigger climate crisis. Yes, may Ukraine be rebuilt, and may all those who have suffered and died in this latest war be remembered. But let us remember too that during the coming years, while Ukraine is being rebuilt, we pray, many more species of animals will be endangered. Many will become extinct. What hope for them? Let me give you a quick window into the future, or one version of our future, God willing. After Easter, I'd like to preach a series on the birds and beasties of the Bible. Just as Jesus showed us, we have much to learn from our fellow creatures. We learn much about God and ourselves by learning about creation. And a bit later on, I'm hoping to preach about the pictures of Jesus in the book of Revelation. But again, I'm probably getting ahead of myself. It is possible, who knows, that none of this will happen. All our futures are in God's hands. And more immediately, how will Carey respond to this latest time of testing and wandering through the wilderness? I'm conscious that thanks to COVID and thanks to the problems of life on this precious planet, many of us have been suffering more than usual. We seem to be going through a season of bereavement in its various forms, a season of bewilderment. It's interesting that that word, bewilderment, has wild contained inside it. Romans chapter 5 also speaks to us of wild hope, the belief that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance produces character, and character brings us back to hope. We are able to hope and go on hoping because God pours out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So we don't just hold on to the hope of glory, of a new day in the near or distant future. we also have an earthly hope, the hope of daily life, the hope that we will encounter God here on earth. Because of the Holy Spirit and because of the goodness of creation, we can experience something of the fullness of the love of God today, this very day. As Paul writes later in Romans, we are more than conquerors. Why is that? Because Jesus has overcome death? Is it because we have this hope of glory? Well, not according to Romans 8, it's not. We are more than conquerors through Christ who loves us. This is the basis of our hope. God's love for us today, which speaks of a new day tomorrow. Love wins over all things. God's love for us and all creation. Our love for God, our love for God's good creation. Here's our hope, that nothing we go through on earth or even in heaven can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. So these three things remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Amen. And now a song which is partly based upon the Beatitudes that we read earlier. How blessed are they. This is 197 in Baptist Praise and Worship, but again, the words will be up on our screen here. How blessed the poor who love the Lord and hold his kingdom in their hearts, for they perceive within a sight the wealth that only God imparts. How blessed are those who hunger now, they shall not go unsatisfied, because they seek for righteousness, their needs will always be supplied. How blessed are those who weep and mourn, for in their sorrow Christ appears to share their grief and bring them hope, till joy shall drive away their tears. How blessed are those who for his sake no pain and insult, hate and scorn, for he will turn the darkest night to great reward in heaven's dawn. How blessed are those who have refused to live for selfish gain alone, though now they feel distress and pain, they soon shall reap as they have sown. How blessed are those who seek and find the precious pearl of countless price, and in God's kingdom taste the fruit of Jesus' perfect sacrifice. Amen. Please be seated. Raphael is now going to come and lead us in our prayers together. Thanks, Raph.
I think it's right only to begin a short prayer by reminding ourselves of God's promise in his word for our hope. And
I'm so sure, because God has already witnessed here this morning in the prayer that was prayed for Andre. So let's pray. Jeremiah 33, verse 3. Call to me, and I will answer you. I will tell you wonderful and marvelous things that you know nothing about. I will heal the nations and the city and its people and restore them to health and show them abundant peace and security. God, our Father, we praise you for your greatness and goodness in love and mercy in Christ. Thank you, Lord, for the gradual sense of normality returning after years of battling the pandemic. The world is in deep darkness, full of anger, hatred, pain, suffering, and sorrow. We beseech you, Father, to have mercy. Forgive us our sins, help and heal the world. God of all nations, we pray for the people of Ukraine that the invasion would stop and leaders would seek diplomatic solution to resolve the conflict. We pray for the refugees and thank you for the support of nations that stands alongside Ukraine. We pray for strength for those who show kindness in their houses, churches, and centers. We pray for our country, the UK. We pray for our government and leaders. Give them wisdom to learn how to govern. We pray for families and friends, children, neighbors. We pray for people with special needs, the bereaved among our fellowship here, Colin, our vicar, and the entire family after losing his beloved mother. We pray for Charmindra after losing his young brother, and Obed, Rifat's losing her sister. We remember Thin, Tholo, and all their families at this time, after the sudden death of their son. Remembering God's promises to bless and comfort those who mourn. We pray for members in need of our prayer support. Pat and Norman, Marlowe, David and Pauline Barham, and their sons Ian and Mark, Tony and Anne, Judy, Joan, Michael, Lisa, Bruce, Brian Jones at the care home, Robert, our pianist, and Andrew Brown. We pray for the NHS, from doctors to the cleaners. And thank you, God, for all their hard works amongst the sick. Guide and preserve and keep them safe and their family. Lastly, we pray for God's help and strength in faith and trust. And we thank God for answering prayers. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Raphael. Our closing hymn is a song of hope, written by good old Sidney Carter, who was born during the First World War and was a peace campaigner all his life. One more step along the world I go. 356 in Baptist Praise and Worship. One more step along the world I go, one more step along the world I go, from the old things to the new, keep me travelling along with you, and it's from the old I travel to the new, keep me travelling along with you. Round the corner of the world I turn, more and more about the world I learn. All the new things that I see, you'll be looking at along with me. And it's from the old I travel to the new, keep me travelling along with you. As I travel through the bad and good, keep me travelling the way I should. Where I see no way to go, you'll be telling me the way I know. And it's from the old I travel to the new, keep me travelling along with you. Give me courage when the world is rough, keep me loving though the world is tough. Leap and sing in all I do, keep me travelling along with you. And it's from the old I travel to the new, keep me travelling along with you. You are older than the world can be, you are younger than the life in me. Ever old and ever new, keep me travelling along with you. And it's from the old I travel to the new, keep me travelling along with you. Thank you, Robert, for that wonderful flourish at the end. That's our blessing. This is taken again from A Heart for Creation. Open our eyes, Lord, to see the beauty of your world. Open our ears to hear the cry of the earth. Open our hearts to care for all living things. Lift us from despair to hope, from apathy to action, from indifference to compassion. Lift us and heal us for your name's sake. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.